During holiday travel, some people get delirious.
Taxi!
Some get delayed. And some get Del Griffin.
American light and fixture, director of sales, shower curtain ring division.
Neil Page got all three.
I was on my way home to spend a nice holiday with my family. Instead, I'm in a motel bed with a stranger.
So instead of Thanksgiving with his family, he's spending 3 days with the turkey.
Two happy clams just whistling down the road.
Flintstones, meet the Flintstones. They're the modern Tonic family.
Paramount Pictures presents
Wilma!
Steve Martin.
Ever been to Hawaii?
Yeah.
You see Don Ho while you were there?
See the second show. That's the best one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
John Candy.
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
In a new film by John Hughes. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
See that Bears game last week?
Yeah, hell of a game, hell of a game.
All right, welcome back to Back in the Movies. I am Ted Flint. We are here on Thanksgiving. It is a Thanksgiving month of Thanksgiving. I'm not sure when the hell this is actually dropping, but when you're listening to it, it'll be Thanksgiving. In order that, we're doing a Thanksgiving movie. And because Sean and Ted, I'm Ted, Sean, Jake hate me, we are not doing the Turkey Bowl this year because they hate fun.
Yes, because we hate you. That's why. You're right.
You know what? If you haven't listened to the Turkey Bowl episode, don't. But also, just go watch the Turkey Bowl.
You think that thing is streaming anywhere? You think it got screwed up from the internet? Anyways, yeah. So this is Back to Movies. We're a movie on podcast on the Tailgate Side Network, where we rewatch a movie or visit a movie that one of us hasn't seen. And since Trains, Planes, and Automobiles is the only Thanksgiving movie that I could think of that is an actual Thanksgiving movie.
What was the title of the movie again?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Trains,
you,
Planes,
you
and
said Trains, Planes, and Automobiles.
I'm not having a good day. Hopefully having we're also recording
you're
this.
You're telling me, buddy.
Yeah, we were also recording this during the Tyson fight. So at some point, if he knocks that dude's head
Netflix,
off,
my internet is fine. You are broken. Thank you.
I mean, I am broken. That is a commonly known thing.
Well, glass houses, buddy.
Yeah. Find us on your podcast app of choice, Spotify, iHeart, iTunes. Believe we're on Amazon because we hate America and probably not Stitcher because Stitcher's dead.
That's dead.
And the TokiSide.com.
Just like the Netflix servers.
Yeah, just like whatever servers this stream is supposed to be going through.
Yeah. So anyways, like I said, Back to the Movies is where we revisit a movie. And I believe Jake has never seen this. But before we get to this movie, we always spoil the shit out of this movie in 90 seconds here left. I have made a wheel. Nothing fancy tonight. Just a wheel with a flipper. Because it's been a week. It's been a decade. And it's been a while since November started. And I am just so tired. America lost. Iowa State keeps losing. Yeah. Anyways, here we go. And we're spinning. And that's on Jake. Imagine that. Jake Voss, who definitely didn't watch the wrong movie 2 weeks ago. That's why we didn't record this sooner. Can't wait to watch Airport. To
control all right, Jake. Fuck you too.
Did you just call it Airport?
It's airplane, okay. Not Airport.
Oh my God. I'll just quit. Can we just quit? It's going to be a bad night for my speaking. Right?
Can't wait.
Oh, fuck my life. All right. Anyways, Jesus Christ. All right. Jake, in 90 seconds or less, spoil the shit out of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Fuck. God damn it.
So, yeah, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is a... I think it's probably the original, maybe not the original, but for everybody, it's probably the original, like, travel. Two people traveling, running into trouble at every turn, forced to travel together. One is annoyed by the other. The main character, I guess, being Steve Martin, Neil Page, and then John Candy being Del Griffith. Trying to fly back to Chicago. Chicago, weather troubles. And as the name says, they take planes, trains, and automobiles and try to get back there. John Candy is kind of your classic annoying, never shuts up character. Steve Martin is the rich, uppity.
I'm just saying person. John Candy's character was misunderstood in this movie as a loud, annoying character. Just saying. Man comes some slack.
And then, of course, at the end, you get the, they get there. Steve Martin realizes, oh, this guy is actually a great guy. He's just going through it. We find out John Candy's wife has been dead, and he's just kind of aimlessly wandering. And they end up at Steve Martin's house for Thanksgiving, and everything is well. And I totally didn't cry. It's fine.
We're going to discuss that ending because it took me a bit to like, it took me until this previous watch of it to really enjoy the ending, because for years I hated the fucking ending.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to get there.
Interesting.
So as always, we always start with like what everyone's earliest memories are of this movie, and considering I was the only one that was alive when it was made.
87.
Yeah, thanks. But I was definitely just, that was when I was born.
No, I'm just saying forever, but for, so everybody knows it was 87.
John Candy was always just a part of my life.
This is, I'm not afraid of being an asshole. I'm just saying that's when the fucking movie came out. All right.
I mean, young people were born in 87. It's fine. So like, yeah, so Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is just always like there. Like, I only ever actually like sit down and watch it until like a few years ago and like realize like how much it's pretty fucking funny, but also like, is it funny? Cause like, I don't, what is Steve Martin's character's name in this fucking movie? Cause like
Neil Page.
All right. I relate.
He's an asshole.
He is an asshole, but also,
but he's also not wrong all the time either. Right. like I like to say sometimes, you're not an asshole. Or you're not wrong, you're just an asshole. Like, that's the, that's kind of Neil Page's character a lot of the time.
Yeah, he's very in-your-face, matter-of-fact, like, just, and he's a stressed human being. So he just, he's making a point, just, no nonsense is where he is.
But
he
also, just, I'm gonna defend this man. He trips over a fucking crate of a suitcase, misses that cab, and then the same man steals that cab later.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of that character. His character is an asshole, but also there's a lot of just like, he's having the worst like 3-day stretch of his life ever as well, right? Like, yeah, he could be less of a like rich prick asshole, but also
he lives in Kevin McAllister's house.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Shine. I cut you off earlier. Go ahead.
No, it is like, I don't fully endorse how much of a prick he gets to be in some of these moments. Like, it is 100% his life is collapsing on him. All he wants to do, you can tell it's very important to him to get home for Thanksgiving with his kids and his family. And like, that's admirable. But at some point, and he does run into just the worst goddamn luck on the planet.
Right.
But yeah, you get that counterbalance of you have Dell that is just making the most out of life, you know, just roll with the punches, man. This is just, sometimes life sucks and we gotta keep trucking.
And he's so I don't know, you get the movie first starts out right there. I assume they're supposed to be,
he's an ad sec. He's like, he's trying to sell an ad for a watch.
But I'm just saying where they are to start with is supposed to be.
They're in New York. They're in New York.
Right. I don't know if it's stated. I don't remember if I saw that or whatever, but he's like in a meeting and he's like, I got to leave. Like, I got to get out of here or whatever.
The first 10 minutes of this movie is what my girlfriend likes to call stress stacking, from where like he's running late, then he trips over the thing, then he's like misses the cab, and she's like, well, a bunch of little shit. Like, just like, to where like, you're not mad at whatever set you off at the end, but you're like, these little shit just starts like,
builds the stress and anxiety and the anger within of just, it's one of those things that surprisingly, and maybe it's a little before all of this got turned into this, but like, I've always learned this in life, especially working in service industry and stuff like this. And it just, the worst thing you could ever say is, well, it can't possibly get worse, right?
Yeah.
Which they do surprise us, they never drop in the movie, but it does. It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
Or as I would say, fans,
right? We had the early drop in of Kevin Bacon.
Oh, there you go. You're ruining the question I was going to ask later about the random persons in this movie.
There's a handful of them, though. I have an interesting answer, and I don't even think it's actually.
Is it true. Kevin McAllister's house?
No, it's not that. But later, when we get to it, I'll bring something up for that question. That's why I was fine with ruining Kevin Bacon, because that was very obvious. But I don't know how he ends up in the movie for just that. But
oh, he's doing someone a favor,
I suppose. What was Kevin Bacon at that point, though?
He's Kevin fucking Bacon, man.
Was he 80s. Already in 87?
Yeah, Footloose came out in the early 80s, man.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Okay, never mind. I'm a child, or I mean, compared to you, I guess, as you would say. I'm a young child, so I don't know anything. I
forgot that John Hughes directed this, or wrote it.
I did see that, yeah. I didn't know that until I was looking at stuff today.
I was surprised to see it, because I think it even pops up in the opening credits. I didn't know that either. That was a good little tidbit to have in there. I was surprised by that.
Surprisingly, the same airplane that is used in this movie is the one in Airplane. Exclamation point.
Is that true? The same like cockpit?
It just said it in the trivia. I was looking at it to find out what hell Kevin Bacon was doing. So speaking of like minor inconveniences that Del Griffin does, and we're going to backtrack. So obviously he trips over the baggage, steals his cab. What's about the cab thing? So he pays that man $50 for his cab. And that dude is a dick. He's like, any man that'll pay 20.
I have a good nature. Any man that'll pay whatever will pay this much.
We'll gladly pay 30.
Close. I'm an attorney. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you're a fucking asshole, man.
Yeah.
So like, what is $50 now? That's 87. Is that close to 200? Is that?
Oh, no. It's probably
85. I bet it's like. 90? No, it's probably closer to probably about 100, but like
that's twice as much, but
maybe not twice as much, but like when you're bartering for a cab, it is right. even today, like if you I would have to be in a goddamn spot. So like even
you'll never even make the six.
Even last weekend in Kansas City running surge price Ubers at $80, $90.
I am too drunk to know why the hell I had 35% off that Uber for after Arrowhead, but it was a saver.
Thank God.
But even on that, like I can't imagine today how desperate it would have to be.
What's 50 now?
50 now or 50 then would be like 170.
Oh, I'd be pissy. Oh, I'd be real pissy about that.
Dollar then is 278 now. So yeah, however that actually works.
So two and a half fold. Yeah. So yeah, about
over two and a half. That's wild.
So yeah, I would have to be probably more desperate.
I mean, he was pretty desperate. I mean, he's trying to get home for Thanksgiving. Like I get it, but. And also, he's apparently like... Do those
kids
like,
really want to see their dad, man? I mean, that's apparently mean to like... Say.
Jesus. He's like apparently some whatever rich business guy. I don't even know if we... I don't even remember if they give us any kind of details about what he does, but...
Yeah, I think it's just he's a high-end salesman sort of thing. So, like, it's just he's got money and money isn't an issue and... So like that's obviously a theme through a lot of this because he pays for a lot of the shit he's got all of these credit
$770 in his wallet. I mean,
right.
That was, and that's like fucking $2,200, man.
He's got these credit cards that, you know, the everyday person doesn't have. And that's what, you know, he's got this class. So like, yeah, he's got money and he's not worried about the money. He just wants to get home. And again, I respect that. Family man. Good for him. But yeah, it just feels like, even as far as like the cab goes, like if it is, so again, like you said, it's not expressly said until sort of later. Like they obviously give it its big city, but I don't think they ever say it's New York until on the plane and they have to, he's flying from New York to Chicago, but they can't land in Chicago.
Saying they go to Wichita.
Yeah, and they got to go to Wichita,
which is wild. Even no matter where they're coming from, going to Chicago, the fact that they go to Wichita is something.
Pose a sandwich, right? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Anywhere else they go to Wichita?
Well, just like thinking of major like places you're flying through, it's certainly not Wichita.
So speaking of the cab thing, before I want to get rid of it, like, what happened first, Mentos commercials or that Kevin Bacon scene where he steals the cab? Because that scene is a Mentos commercial. All I need is Kevin Bacon holding up Mentos and being like, haha, fresh maker, and jiving in the cab. Like, let's laugh it off. I win. You guys, are you too young?
I'm too young. I know what you're talking about.
Are you fucking serious? Are you too young for Mentos? Yeah. Oh my
God. The freeze frame as he pops a Mento is the fresh rock, maybe. God damn.
Yeah, you're old. Dead, generation. Sorry.
Yeah, right there. That's fun.
I mean, this beard is gray. I mean,
beautifully gray. I don't know. Don't say that like it's a bad thing.
Thank you. So real quick. So then like they get on the airplane. There's a deleted scene. Have you guys seen the deleted scene where they're in the airport where John Candy smokes a cigarette and eats a donut at the same time?
It is. I don't think so, but
it is art. Like it's while amazing. While I'm discussing,
I feel like I've seen something like that before.
You can watch it on mute. I want you guys to watch it on mute while I talk about this for a second. It takes like 45 seconds. Track this shit out. It is. I don't understand the physics of how he does this shit. But so then, of course, John Candy, Dale Griffin, gets on this goddamn airplane and physically takes his socks off in front of, where the hell Steve Martin's character is, even though he said now like five times, Phil.
Neil Page.
Neil. Like, that is outrageous behavior. Just being like, taking your socks off and like, but while they're watching this, I'm going to describe this part. So John Candy's
a hot dog, not a donut. I have seen that before.
He's eating a hot dog and smoke is billowing out of his mouth as he's
swallowing. Like, as he takes a bite, it's like coming out of his mouth. That's hilarious.
How do you swallow a hot dog with smoke in your throat? Like, how is that physically possible? Like, where does it go?
It's fantastic. I can't believe it's not in the movie.
But I mean, that's the time that like smoking and smoke was everywhere. Was just everybody everywhere. Was like that was.
I just don't understand the physics. I just don't understand where the physics, but like where the food's going down, the smoke's not like following it in your.
Thank you, speakers.
Why he's not around anymore? But
well,
certainly doesn't help.
I mean, John Candy's problem wasn't the cigarettes.
Just like Chris Farley's problem wasn't the food.
Yeah, it's, I'm sure it did.
Are you telling me Jim Belushi didn't die from cigarettes?
Yeah, it's officially heart conditions. You take what you want from that.
I had seen that video before, and I actually thought that was like some SNL thing or something. I didn't realize it was like a deleted scene from this movie.
Right. So then they get on the airplane, and he fucking takes his shoes and socks off, like.
Shoes and socks.
And he's just like, oh man, dogs are barking.
Man, yeah, that's just
like self-awareness. Oh. Like, just like, who the fuck does that? Like, who takes their
socks off? All right, listen, like, I'm not a fan of someone taking their shoes off. On the flight, the flight that I took over to the Netherlands, the person I was next to took their shoes off, and I thought that was reasonable given that their feet did not smell. But to take your socks off on a plane is wild to me.
It's nuts. Well, and so like I know there's still to this day discussions about like obviously some level of flight etiquette, and like there's still, especially in the 80s and even through the 90s, and
John McClane had a gun on airplane. I guess you can take your socks off.
Right.
Yes.
But like, even to this day, there's still people that like will argue. I'm a person, if I'm getting on an airplane, I wear socks, but I wear slides. when I go through airport security. I wear sweatpants or shorts. I'm not. There's still people that just act like you have to dress up to get on an airplane.
And I'm not a sweatpants and sandals person, but
out of here person.
I'm also not. Yeah, I'm also like, not like that.
Like, I'm going to be comfortable. I'm going to be stuck on this flight for 2 hours. I'm stuck. I have longer legs. I just, my knees are going to be cramped. I'm not going to get to move a lot. I'm going to be as comfortable as I could be. But this was in a time where it was, you dressed up to get on flights. And even then, like, and don't get me wrong, even today, if I'm sitting next to somebody and somebody takes their socks off, we're going to have to emergency land because I'm causing a ruckus on this plane.
You're going to be, getting rowdy.
I don't know. I've never once in my life hit that, that steward button, but I would be.
I thought you were saying you're going to the emergency train like stopper. I'm like, they don't make those on airplanes. They can just
on the bus only. That's
I'll knock one of those doors off those 747s anymore, and just we're landing anywhere, and just
all right.
And I feel like when I get federally investigated. And just a dude, the guy next to me took his goddamn socks off. They're gonna go, yeah, okay, yeah.
As you're waking up from getting tased by the fucking air marshal. All right, so let's lead into Jake's question about and we're gonna get to Wichita here in a second. But is there any small actor that you did not know was like from this movie? Famous actor in a small role. I mean, Kevin Bacon's mine, or
Kevin Bacon's probably the massive one. What I will say. And I didn't like slow it down other than I did rewind once. The cab driver in the very beginning looks a lot like Hugh Jackman.
I don't think that's him. I know
it's not. There's no credit. And then there's Ben Stein too. But no, that cab driver just in the flash of the moment looks a lot like it doesn't look like Hugh Jackman at the time, because I think Hugh Jackman would be way too young probably to look like that. But
yeah, I think he's still in fucking Australia in 87.
I mean, he was like, he was like 20 or something. I looked it up, but I just, when I first saw it, I was like, that looked like Hugh Jackman at whatever, 35. But
yeah. So in the moment when he popped up, I agree with the Ben Stein. I was just doing some other stuff around the house, but like was still listening and sort of paying attention, and like I had my head down and I just heard the voice and I go, oh, that's Ben Stein. I watched a lot of Win Ben Stein's Money back in the day.
We all so, did, like, man.
That's just for me, I think just because
we were doing a podcast of a toddler.
This
I'm 31 watch, goddamn years old.
You didn't.
You cannot Ben call Stein's me a money. Fucking toddler.
When was Ben?
I'm Stein's closer money to 32 on. Than I am 31.
You I'm can't a man, call me a damn it.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
When Ben Stein's Money was on Comedy Central at the same time Chappelle's Show was on, so really? I mean it's 20 years back. Ago.
I mean, I remember Chappelle's Show. I didn't know when Ben Stein's Money was a thing.
Where it's where what's his nuts? Kimmel got his start.
Jimmy
that Kimmel? In the man, yeah, he was on
Ben Stein.
The man show, I remember. But I think Ben Stein was about first. Ben Stein's
also, are we not going to throw out some love for little Joey Lawrence?
But it's Matthew Lawrence, but yes, that is
the middle one.
So that was mine because I didn't realize, I guess, to sort of touch on another question, I haven't rewatched this movie in probably at least like 10 years, and like, and he's not in it a ton, like he's in like three scenes very briefly, but immediately I just went, oh, one, that's the kid from Mrs. Doubtfire, and I go, oh, that's a Lawrence brother.
Dude, I'm not sure I've seen Mrs. Doubtfire in 25 years.
And so it was, and he's got the same haircut that he has, what is it, 8 years later in
Mrs. Doubtfire? We might piss off some people if we do Mrs. Doubtfire when we go into how Robin Williams' character was in the wrong in that movie. Like,
I haven't seen that movie in a long time either.
He invaded his ex-wife's house and faked being a nanny.
I understand the premise of the movie is not great.
That is federal crime jail time.
Yeah, well, it's not good. Yeah.
I did not recognize that was Matthew Lawrence, by the way.
Oh, I did immediately. I
was really? Just,
oh, probably because you were 3 years old when Blossom was on, which had his older brother.
I mean, I know the Lawrence brothers for sure. I just didn't realize.
Is Matthew the middle one? He's not the young one, right?
He's the middle one, right?
I think there's one below him.
It's
Joey, Matthew, and something.
And yeah, the other one. Andrew was
yeah, the Andrew one. Is the older one. Yep.
Oh, well, no one cares shit about the oldest one. Oh,
the Brotherly Love. We all watch Brotherly Love, right? No?
Yes.
Okay.
The oldest one out of a trio doesn't matter.
Oh, Ted shit. Might not have, I guess, but I didn't.
I don't know what the fuck that is. All right. Also, we're also dropping the ball with old God damn, what's his name? This the state trooper? Michael McKean. From Better Call Saul. And
I recognized him, but I couldn't have told you exactly from where, to be honest with you.
But all right, so we're gonna move on. We're in Wichita and they ride the craziest goddamn cab ever that I would love to ride in. Dude,
it's got airbags, man.
And
oh my god. That's a tough ride. This is where
I rode the Arrowhead in the back of a Toyota Camry. He did not want to move that bag out of the front seat. And I rolled in there with Nicole and Rachel, and it was a tight fit. He had a goddamn bag on my front seat. He's like, no, all three in the back. And I'm like, fuck, all right, let's roll.
That picture that I opened on Snapchat got so much better when I learned the story of why that was happening.
Like Nicole's like heads like peeking out from behind
yeah.
me. Yeah. That cab's awesome. I'd ride in that cab. I wouldn't even ask for a name. That
thing rolled up.
Jumping in. So, cab to the hotel. This is the point where there's a point in this movie that my girlfriend slapped her. Did the Midwest was like, I can't do this movie.
That was when she tapped out.
Hang on, I'm gonna ask you. If you're Neil, when do you tap out? When do you what's the last straw? When is fuck this shit, I'm out. She specifically asked me to ask you to that. When do you tap out of the situation? Because she has a distinct spot where she literally left the room to go cook something in the kitchen. She's like, I can't, this movie is giving me anxiety. I'm out.
I feel like with foresight of understanding the whole situation, I would have just right away rented a car and been done with it and driven to Chicago.
Well, but That's the whole thing in Wichita, is that there's no rental cars and there's no way.
I thought that was before they. Okay, never mind. Maybe I was thinking that was
and all the flights and there's no flights.
I knew there was no flights, but I was thinking as soon as I realized the weather was the way it was, I would have just went and rented a car.
So you survived till morning after the hotel. You survived the hotel.
I mean,
what the fuck else are you gonna do?
Yeah, at that point, it's tough, and I mean, maybe you can find a way to rent a car in Wichita at that point. If you can find, I'll pay whatever it is to rent a car. I'll get me to a rental car station. And I'm on my own.
That's kind of what I was thinking. He still has his credit cards and stuff at that point. I would get myself to somewhere that I can get a vehicle that I can control my own destiny instead of just.
So it's definitely a hotel. It is when she makes it past the shower when he steps out and everything's wet.
Okay. Is it the beer soaked bed? Is that the
No. Okay. It is washing your face with the water that has it.
Okay.
He literally left the room. She's like, nope, I'm done. I'm out. She's like,
and then wipes his face off with the tiny whiteys that are in there. Apparently,
hey, if you're gonna brush your teeth,
might want to take the socks out of the sink.
Take the socks out of the sink. Yeah, that's probably that is probably a moment.
The water looks so terrible.
Too. I don't know where I would go. Like at that point, I
gotta get away from.
I don't think I would get to that point. Like personally, I think I would figure something else out for sure. But if I did get to that point, I would walk straight the fuck out.
Or him snoring when he's in bed and doing like the whole like trying to like clear his shit out.
I laugh so hard in the morning time though when he rolls over and he's like cuddling him and kisses him on the ear.
But even before that, when they're getting in, like when they're in bed and Del just has every rapper imaginable in that bed,
use the letter of the real.
I'm sleeping on the floor. I don't care.
Caramel corn, like, stuck to
me. Oh, my God.
He's in a lighter read a book.
I say this as a person who every single night when me and my girlfriend go to bed, I fucking love popcorn. I have a bowl of popcorn every night in bed, and I make sure before we lay down, there's not even the smallest kernel.
Well, I know she's not
laying around
eating crackers then, apparently. So,
and yeah, and just, I cannot imagine if there were just wrappers and food everywhere in that bed. Like, I'm not just tucking into a corner and just going, I'm going to tough this. Like, I'm going to weigh a lake. Lay awake for 8 hours just nonstop because I'm not gonna be able to sleep.
So let's talk about that bed. Let's talk about the bed. That bed has a fucking quarter vibrating bed thing.
I marked down the vibrating
girlfriend,
bed.
Girlfriend's just young enough. Whatever it is. Girlfriend's just young enough. She's like, was that a thing? Is that a thing? I'm like, I don't know. Like, I assume it is. I've seen it in so many
I've only ever seen it in a bunch of movies.
I do recall as a child, at least staying in
like a motel that had one.
I couldn't tell you where, right. But like seeing a coin slot, like never. I was probably 6 years old or whatever, but I didn't know what it did until I saw movies later, and I'm like, oh, okay, that's weird.
Okay,
well, so. I feel like that's only a like door opens to the parking lot motel like thing anyway. So
yeah, I mean,
it's by the hour.
Yeah. It's
well, yeah, you want to pay for 2 hours or a whole day. Like,
motel. Right. Yeah.
So, all right. Vibrating
for bed. Anybody listening in Des Moines. Yeah. It's the Hawkeye Motel that has had numerous murders. And I believe at one point halfway burnt down.
We had one of those that just wasn't even in operation forever here in Newton.
Trying to stab you and the bed's vibrating and he can't get you. Stop fucking vibrating, bed is bouncing everywhere. Trying to stab you. Anyways, real quick. It's just us here, right? Just us.
Yeah, nobody's listening.
No one's listening to us. So we can have a nice little conversation. You're in a hotel if you're significant other with one of those beds. You guys putting a quarter in?
Probably.
Right? Maybe we're all putting the quarter in, right?
And why not?
You got to try it out. It's a quarter.
That's what I mean. You got to at least try. It'd probably be like a couple bucks now, but like
now you're like trying it. You're getting frustrated now, like because the dollar not going in. Like dollar keeps on getting sticked out. Your girlfriend
keeps kicking the dollar.
Girlfriend's being like, "Are we gonna do it or not?" Like the goddamn bill won't go. It's crinkly.
If it's modern day, it's $1.50 and you have to tap your debit card to pay.
Yeah, I'm literally just tap my fucking card.
And then it's a $3 surcharge to actually get your card to run. So
it's $1.50. It's actually a 50 cent upcharge for card usage. Fuck you. Just give me the vibration, goddammit.
All right. So we're in the hotel. Fuck. We're gonna use the hotel to be like, what is everyone's favorite quote from the movie? Because I think mine is the hotel one. Is a quote from the hotel is my favorite quote of the movie, or memorable quote.
I mean,
I'm actually surprised.
I have two. I have one that's.
I'm actually surprised there is not at least nothing that I recognized as like a super memorable quote that's like requoted from this movie. I was kind of shocked by that because I thought there would be something that I didn't know about.
For me, it's one that my girlfriend started watching the movie with me about halfway through, and I was kind of walking her through like what we do, what the questions we do and stuff like that. And I brought up to her the quote one, and she asked me, she's like, oh, what's your favorite quote? And I go, oh, it's coming up. And like, and it takes a bit to get to it. My favorite quote that it's down the road, no pun intended, is 100%. It is the thing that sticks in my brain when I think Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's, you're going the wrong way. Just, how would he know where we're going?
Yeah,
you're right. He's been drinking.
He's like making the drinking motion. Yeah.
And she definitely walked back in during that scene, saw what was happening, and walked right back to the kitchen. She's like, mine is the, those aren't pillows. When he's like, my hands are
between two pillows.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't even laugh at, I shouldn't say I didn't laugh at the you're going the wrong way part. I was so just like annoyed by the fact that John Candy's character did what he did. And like just drove back on the interstate, like, oh yeah, this is the way to go.
Deer almost got hit by a deer.
Yeah, almost hit a deer. I don't know.
I mean, and it's so not. I don't want to skip too far ahead because that whole highway scene, the whole highway stretch is great. But you get off the plane. They stay in a seedy motel. They have to take the train. And we're, you know, we're free. We're good. Everybody's going to get home safe. And they're just, it's a long train ride, but whatever. And then just the smoke just starts billowing out of that train.
I had one thing.
The middle of nowhere. And they just.
I kind of had a nitpick about this, but like they said they're in Jefferson City. At one point, which is like straight east, I think, from Wichita,
yeah,
and not that far from St. Louis. And I was just like,
well, they end up in St. Louis.
Not
they go
wildly
to,
far.
Yeah. Like they end up going to St. Louis. But I was like, the logistics of like going from Wichita, like they're supposed to go to Chicago from Wichita, but they go like damn near straight east from Wichita to Jefferson, basically they're going to St. Louis, essentially, is how that would work. I just thought it was odd. I was like, when they said Jefferson City, I was like, that's more or less St. Louis. That seems weird. But anyway.
All right. So also back to the those no pillows. Like one of my favorite quotes. I don't even know if it's from this movie. I just more like when you're in an awkward conversation, and you're just like, oh, how about that sports team? Like when they jump up and they're like, oh, but those Bears or whatever.
Yeah, the Bears suck this year or whatever they said. Yeah.
Like just like. Also, they're pointing out the next point where Neil's a
Why'd
dick.
You kiss my ear?
Neil being an asshole when he's like. All right, real quick before we're on the train. Because they're on the train next. They get picked up by those fucking rednecks. I laugh so goddamn hard. She has a baby, a newborn, and her husband's like. Oh, she can
get out here. Why are you being
get
out here? Why
get
are you
out here.
This up?
She's strong as an ox.
She might be
sideways.
80 pounds, but she's pretty strong.
Kick him out sideways. She didn't even cry a tear.
Yeah, it's the hotel owner's son or something. Just yeah, she'll get it for you. Just, no, it's okay.
That's
we got
also
it.
That's Dylan Baker. That's just like one of those them guys. Like he's a lizard in the Amazing Spider-Man. If you look him up on IMDb, you'll recognize that man. Like he just shows up and shit. He spits and then he like wipes the chaw off his hand and shakes his hand.
Shakes Neil's hand, yeah.
Oh, but then Neil like Neil's been doing. They lose their money. Neil accuses Dell of stealing it.
Yeah, because all right. So can we talk about? So before we move on, we got to talk about the fact that some random kid apparently just breaks into the room. Nobody wakes up.
Makes
and
a
hears
grand.
Him.
Makes a grand.
And yeah, gets 700 and something and 200 and something out of their wallets. No, like not enough of a sound to wake either of them up. They're both sleeping in an uncomfortable ass bed, but they don't wake up to somebody breaking in their. Well, I mean, whatever. Breaking into their room, picking the lock and coming in the room.
Right. Yeah. And just taking all the cash. And
I mean, it is a good part of, or a I don't know if it's integral, but it is like, oh, well, this is the time of, you can't just use your phone to tap to pay, and you can't just, not everything is digital, like cash right. actually matters, right? So it made sense for the movie. It's just like, you probably could have had him getting robbed.
Just so more we already told the audience that we're recording this during the Tyson's fight. Is he wearing assless fucking trunks during the
Oh, you just saw that video? I'm assuming he's going to have more over his midsection than
I hope not. I hope he knocks his ass out, fucking his ass hanging out. Anyways, so like,
Tez, have you seen that? We're going to like date this, but have you seen that video of Tyson just walking around with his ass out?
Oh, she's 80 pounds. She's fine. Kick him out sideways. She didn't even cry.
Tez, you're muted. Why are you muted?
He's speechless. He's looking at Mike Tyson's ass. It happens. The best you. You have the power to do that?
Probably.
It's all right. His mouth's moving.
Yeah, it's fine, except when he's muted the whole time. Ask to unmute. There we go.
The robber is one of the... So I thought he looked a little familiar. He's one of the kids.
Did you not hear us talking, Neil?
No, he could.
I did.
He's just responding now. He was muted the whole time. He was who?
So
he was a kid from what?
He was one of the kids from Stand By Me.
Ooh. Like the asshole kids? Like the guys that are hanging out with Sutherland, I assume?
I think, yeah, one of the teenagers.
He sure is shitting on one of the four.
Yeah, he's Charlie Hogan. So sure. I think he's just in the group of the teenagers. That was not great.
Matt Lawrence's name is literally Neil. He named his son Neil. What a
piece yeah, he of was shit. Neil Jr. He said that.
Got a piece of shit.
Right. Oh wow, judging
man,
much.
Man, Neil's an old man's name. You don't name your son Neil in this day and age.
Okay.
God, I don't like it. God, now Leaper's not even on Twitter. Find him on Blueski. Yell at him. You're going to find him at
Jared_Leaper on Blueski.
Is that the same thing?
I have no idea.
But I'm
just making shit up, man. I don't know.
So we do get like, all right, so we get on the train crashes, or not gonna crash, it blows
breaks
up.
Down.
We do have like small, like, cracks in Neil's armor popping up here. Like he helps Del carry the trunk.
Yeah, I mean, as you go through the movie, he kind of breaks down his whatever
interior
armor. Asshole facade. Yeah, it's like slowly get the breakdown of like, oh, okay, this guy is
even though showing
some empathy and like getting broken down, like this guy, yes, this guy is like in your face and annoying and doesn't shut up, but he's a good person, and slowly breaks Neil down to like being more empathetic and helpful and yada yada.
Right. And then like, but also is Del is definitely like making it seem like the trunk is worse than it should. Like he's like,
I was expecting some kind of, so very early in the movie, and I don't have, like I said, I had never seen this movie, and I knew the movie was a thing. People talk about it, but I didn't know. I did not even know John Candy was in this movie.
Did I even like ask the, what's everyone's earliest memories of this goddamn movie question?
You did early, but I think we just kind of jumped into the movie before I answered, and I had never seen the movie. I knew of the movie. I knew Steve Martin was in the movie.
So what is like your John Candy canon then? Like when you think John Candy, is it Uncle Buck?
That was because of my mom. Like
Great
my
Outdoors?
my mom was, no, it was Uncle Buck. Like my mom was a fan of, that was one of the movies pretty early on that like we watched.
I'm not sure if I've seen Uncle Buck in a very, very long time.
I think I haven't seen it like super recently, but probably within the last 5 years I've watched it.
I've definitely seen The Great Outdoors in the last five.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
And then honestly, he's in JFK for a few minutes, and then he's in this, and he's in Home Alone. I feel like we're missing stuff from John Candy.
Probably. I mean, I can look at
Canadian bacon. Also, him wear his
cool,
mustache.
Cool Runnings. Is
oh, of course, Cool Runnings. Also, this is him being like, this is why I don't have mustaches, is because of him. And also, my girlfriend said that she wouldn't date me for 2 months if I had a mustache. She doesn't like say that specifically, but I've gotten the
Great Outdoors, Spaceballs.
Great Outdoors is good, man. I feel like you've seen parts of the Great Outdoors. Like the big bear, they shoot the bear, the fucking
so.
Dan Aykroyd's like, the Great Outdoors is like Dan Aykroyd at like his sleaziest. Like there's like Stripes. Dan Aykroyd. Oh, yeah, he's in his Stripes. But like Great Outdoors is where like Dan Aykroyd might be like the biggest asshole of Dan Aykroyd's like movie career. I'm sure Sean can back that up.
Right. So back to what we're talking about is I didn't even know that John Candy was in this movie. I just knew Steve Martin. As far as just like my relative, like whatever this movie existed and people talk about it. I was expecting, and very early on in the movie, I figured out the emotional thing of like, oh, he doesn't actually have a family anymore. Like his wife is not like his wife's dead or whatever. Something happened.
They're subtle about that, but yeah.
They're pretty subtle about it, but I was like, oh, this makes sense. Like he's just it's gonna turn out like he doesn't actually have anybody, and that's part of why he is the way he is. And so I was expecting some kind of reveal with the trunk. I didn't know if it was gonna be like his wife recently passed away and he's
her
like,
body or some shit. No,
not her body, but like her like possessions that he was carrying with him to like take somewhere or something like that. Like I thought the trunk was going to be less of a like representation and more of like an actual thing that there was some kind of reveal with. The trunk just turned out to be a representation of like baggage that like took help to carry and whatever.
So Sean, about. Like what is like your John Candy? Like, it's like, I was talking about Jake, but like Great Outdoors, Home Alone, Uncle Buck, like John Candy is what to you?
So for me, it's like as far as like full role, like being lead or
what do you think of when you think John Candy?
Like I think Uncle Buck or Home Alone. That's so like for me, it's especially when I watch like this movie and it's the especially the traveling to Chicago. To me, this and Home Alone are canon. Yeah. John Candy's he's always fair. Just trying.
Neil sold
He's going to get somebody to Chicago. God damn it. No matter what, whether it's in a church singing van or whether it's playing piano on the dashboard of a highway and then wrecking the car and blowing it up. But
we're going to get to that part. But yeah, like I don't know if I've seen Uncle Buck all the way through in 20 years. I have recently seen The Great Outdoors, but like, we probably should add Uncle Buck.
Sorry, there's a lot of captain in that drink.
I don't know if Uncle Buck fully fits Uncle Buck for sure fits the if you have not watched that movie in 5 years, you should watch
it.
That.
Definitely has
especially if you haven't watched it in like 20 years.
It has a gif. Which one of you guys has the fight on? I can hear it in my ears.
Tez.
One of you guys
it's me. It's,
Tez is making noise over there.
Yeah.
All right, that's fine.
I'll turn it down in a second.
All right, so as long as we see Tyson.
I got to go over the way over there.
My shit just won't even stream, so.
Anyways, Netflix
is all fucked up.
No, it's giving me tail of the tape on a fight I've seen 4 times already. So
so then, like, finally, like, they end up in St. Louis and.
Question. All right, so. This comes into play. How far do you think it is if you're going to drive from St. Louis to Chicago? How far is that? Because the rest of the movie after this is like a long drug out thing. How far do you think it is from St. Louis?
Well, when do you think they get in the car? 8 o'clock at night?
No. I'm talking about like the amount of time that you feel like passes from the time that they're in St. Louis to the time that they get to Chicago. Because they're like in the car and like Steve Martin's driving for a while, and then
so in my Pop head,
Candy's driving. And
in my head, it's
Steve Martin's taking a nap.
Like it's a 6-hour trip. Did you map it out? I think it's 6 hours, probably. It's
4 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that the rental car is where they get the St. Louis car, right?
No, that's when John Candy has the car and picks up Steve Martin and
right, right.
The so, fire and yeah.
Which is another incredible scene we are going
to
have.
It also is. It's Thanksgiving, so it's November. So say Steve gets in the car and he goes straight to sleep. They drive 90 minutes. Fire happens. They're halfway there. It all goes
But down. Steve Martin's driving the car at one point, right? That's
fine, man. You can drive for an hour and be like, fuck, man, I'm tired as shit. Can you take over?
If I'm driving and it's 4 hours, I'm just driving 4 hours.
Dude, he had a night. He just walked fucking 10 miles across the airport parking lot, cussed out some old lady.
Can we? Yes, that scene. I literally made a note. I was like, he walked across the fucking runways? Like, what is this?
I leaned over to Rachel and I was like, this is why this movie has an R rating right here.
The fucks that he drops and the amount of fucks that he drops in like 60 seconds.
Fuck your fucking smile, your fucking twinkly ass fucking face.
Wipe that fucking smile off your fucking face.
Well, guess what?
Car.
You're fucked.
Wipe
I love that response. Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, she's like, well, if that's what you want to do, guess what? You're fucked.
And it's not even, and that is,
that's. Where's your receipt at? I tore it the fuck up.
Yeah, where's your rental agreement? I tore it the fuck up. You're fucked. And that is, for a person 30 years after this movie was made, this is how I wish to this day I could treat customers that are absolute fucking pricks.
My favorite part of my job.
That just want to talk shit and just go, you fucked it up. You fucked it up.
We work in a small business. Just,
no, actually, you fucked it up. And at the end of the day, still 30 years later, you can't tell people that because it's customer service.
I have a small business. Yeah, go ahead.
No, it just it's all about customer service because especially now in the day of internet reviews and shit like that, like
you sure can't say what she said.
Yeah, you it's because it would be 100%. Like, I mean, even to part of my life right now, we opened that up, our store. This week, and a dude got super fucking pissed.
How about you don't make greasy ass cheese balls, right? How about you fix that shit?
Not even that one. The guy that got super pissed, so fucking pissed that our new store is drive-through only.
Yes.
And he just goes, well, that's super inconvenient for me.
This is where, right. This is where the universe shits.
I'm sorry, we didn't call you, you dumbass. It's not about you. Like, I swear to grow God, up, Peter Pan. Like,
oh God, this guy's a paraplegic. We're all going to hell.
He's not.
I actually saw that comment and clicked on his profile. He's definitely.
He blows into a straw to move around. I'm sorry.
He's not because I learned today talking with
my mom, we're so off the rails. Jesus Christ.
The day he made that comment, an hour before he showed up to the location and he like tried to walk in the door to
he's like that. He's like that kitchen. GIF of the dude like pulling the doors. Let me
and he just goes, you guys like there's no inside seating? No, dude. Like you're in the kitchen.
Sorry, floor's lava.
Yeah. Well, this doesn't work for me. Oh, fuck. Sorry, man. Sorry, we didn't call you.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, be understanding. Everybody's working their ass off to try and make you happy and give you good food and services across the board.
Stop being dickheads. Eat at Charlotte's.
I always love when someone chews my ass at work, and then I pass up the old man. I'm like, that guy told me to go fuck myself, and Dad's like, all right, cool. Well, when he calls, his insurance is probably gone.
Yeah. In the nicest way possible to everybody.
On he won't say planet. That, but he's gonna be like, okay, well,
you're not that leave. Fucking important, as it turns out.
Unlike Neil, who thinks he's super fucking important.
He did for a while. He got turned over as the movie went on.
Netflix wants to know if my speed's still good.
Yeah. It's definitely not a Netflix issue. It's an internet issue on your
end. Now I'm thinking about is how fucking far. Maybe like they're on the south side of St. Louis. Like, God damn it. Maybe they like left.
Oh, dude. Like I broke this part. Like I messed this part this of the like movie up for myself because I was like, how far it? Cause I watched for a little while and I was like, it's not that far from St. Louis to Chicago.
No.
And I literally put it in Google and I was like, yeah, it's like 4 hours. And they like drag that part of the movie out to seem like it's 10 hour. Like you're driving from Wichita to.
This is like when you get Chicago. Mad at me rookie of the year about why they're in fucking school during the summer.
Sorry, man. It's what my brain did when I was watching. I can't help it.
All right. Well, this part's the best part of the movie, but anyways, I'm gonna call it. I'm gonna call it best part of the movie. Like the whole highway scene. I mean, what's your guys' best?
Oh part? Yeah, when they're driving and before the wreck and the fire you're talking about.
Yeah, like when the whole thing, him losing the cigarette and like knowing the cigarette's gonna bite him in the ass, like just like the whole like crescendo, like all of that, like just.
I mean, I was actually more annoyed by things like the cigarette.
Cool. Fire. It's a good time to ask what's everyone's least favorite part of the movie is and what took you out of it. Jake, go ahead.
I mean, that's certainly up there. Like to throw a cigarette butt and it gets blown back into the back seat in a leather or pleather, whatever it is, seat. And then like way later to start a fire. It's a a piece of the movie, right? So
death from Final Destination at that point is that meme where the guy sits up and he's like, oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I honestly actually
just taking notes like cigarette out the window in the back.
Honestly, seat. I think what actually takes me out of the movie the most, and it's hard because like the movie was made the way it was made when it was made, but like today all of these things are completely different, right? Because you have your cell phone, probably have like a card on your phone, everything's digital, like it's not, you're not stranded by cash, like you have all of these things that makes all of this movie different. Oh, for sure. Today,
yeah, but
you're going the wrong way.
I'm probably right on the edge of understanding how this movie happens the way it happens. If you ask like a 25-year-old even, like, or have them watch it, they'd be like, what do you mean you can't just like
call
use your phone or call someone or like whatever, right? Like fix all these problems just by the way that the world works now. Like
the live stream. I literally just watched a movie recently where the person in danger starts a live stream on Instagram.
Yeah, like they're like all of these things are solved by technology for like I think I'm very much on the edge of like being conscious and understanding the world of just cash and checks and pay phones and not cell phones.
Oh, and for sure. It is a capsule of that time of, you know, even like I said earlier, it just rental cars weren't just things. They were just, you got them at airports was about the only place you got them.
That's kind of what I mean. And like you can't just get on your phone and like rent a car or like,
and not every place had them. Like that's the reason like Enterprise 20 years ago became the we'll pick you up. Like that was the hugest fucking growth in rental car shit of just like, holy shit, there's rental car companies that are trying to help you and actually just not just keeping a, as it is in this movie, a goddamn parking lot of cars at an airport.
Literally just drop you off with a key, like, and with a spot. Like,
so, yeah, it is.
So I said, I don't think there's any specific thing.
It's not necessarily a disconnect, but it's a different time. And, yeah, you can't call anybody anytime you want.
I just want to see someone live tweeting the event. If Neil was a live tweeter, like just like him, like fucking socks in the sink. What the fuck? And I'm like, I'm following this guy's adventure. Let's
I would be curious, Ted, I would be curious to have you watch this with like your kids, right? I mean, your kids are old enough.
They've
now
seen it.
To,
they like it.
Oh, they
watched. We watched a couple years ago. They
but
like
they,
it.
Did they have any like? Well, maybe not a couple years ago. I don't know. Like, I think they're. I was just.
No,
I was
my kids don't complain kids, about that. They complain about commercials.
No, well, I was. I was thinking about like your kids being of the age of like getting closer to like some independence and like under like. Because in the world now, when you have independence, it's like you can do the digital things and like just call, do this and do this on your phone and internet and blah, blah, blah. But like having them, yeah, I guess if they watched it a couple of years ago, it probably isn't quite as applicable. But
no, they're pretty good about like enjoying a movie that's like made in a time period and like.
Right. And I'm thinking about like if you just had like a high schooler or a 20-year-old watch this movie now that doesn't really have. I don't know, like a lot of knowledge of older stuff or whatever. Like they'd be like, well, why don't you just do this? Or wait, you mean you can't just like sure. do I this mean, or like whatever is what more what I was going at.
It's for sure. It's one of those things of what is it? The Gen Z that is.
Yeah. Wherever the hell we are. Now.
These kids are that are 24 years old.
Yeah. You deal with them on the daily. Test.
Yeah. But like, yeah, I can't imagine showing this movie to those kids and they're just going, why don't they, yeah, just call somebody. Like you can get a hold of somebody. Why did there's no, you can't.
Yeah, what
there's
do you mean not, you can't just like,
that's not how, this. And God bless technology, but that is, it is very much a disconnect of how you view these things and just like, I think,
yeah, it doesn't make this movie bad. It's like, just a very, this movie is sure. very it's, much dated by that type of stuff. I thought,
yeah, right. 100%. And that's where it kind of gets to, I think. And I think we've talked about this on a couple other movies, but when it comes to this sort of stuff, of watching these characters having these sorts of problems and just, I mean, there's hundreds of thousands of TikToks or tweets or whatever it may be of people just going, like, just showing cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Asking 21-year-olds, just like, what do you think know what this is?
Does? Are we trying to hurt me now? Like, all right, let's go on the movie. You're trying to hurt me.
I'm not trying to hurt you, but that's just where we're at. Like, we're the people now that, like,
you should get your camera out and ask your workers what a fucking how to work a VHS tape. Like,
no,
like, do you understand? We know we had tape shows on this. When I lived with Ricky, we used to, when 24 and Heroes were on at the same time on Monday nights, we had to set up a VCR up in the spare bedroom, well, my bedroom, so we could record Heroes on one VHS and watch 24 live. Because if you did not watch 24 live or Heroes live, you're not watching the other one.
I'm gonna guess there's still a handful of cassette tapes back at my parents' house where I recorded mixtapes off the radio.
24 and
that I had to just. I had to wait for my favorite song to come on and record it and then stop it and then just
run it back. I'm just young enough to be away from that. I didn't ever do that, but no, I think the point of it, like this movie might be, I don't know if it's the first ever, but I think this is the most pronounced movie we've ever had where like the plot actually kind of pivots around some of the things that would be completely solved today.
Die Hard.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
Die Hard, Die Hard's over about a cell phone. Done.
But yeah, I mean, this movie is like, oh, all your cash is gone. Oh, all of your physical credit cards are gone. You don't like you can't.
Can we discuss how Dell uses credit card? And was like, I was gonna pay you back. I promise. I mean, that's the only part where we're like, Dell, you fucked up.
Yeah, that was the part where I was like, wait, you took the guy's card and then you just charged a fucking
train ticket.
Rental to the
rental.
That was the, it's on it was him. A car.
Oh my God, it was a car.
Yeah, like so that's all liability. It's like all liability is on Neil and it, like, yeah, it's not great. Oh, I was gonna. No, I was gonna pay you back.
And they crash the goddamn car into the hotel when they leave. Like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
I don't know what kind of car that was to start with, but it was
a burnt ass fucking car. Is a fucking 95 Crispino.
Also, when they 85 Crispino, when they left out of the snow pile, it was all wheel drive, which I thought was interesting. I mean, that's a nerdy car thing for me to notice, but the front tires
not, were not anti fire. That's a goddamn sure.
Sure was it.
All right. So
the radio still worked though, like a charm.
I love that when they pull that dude. That cop, that part's so great. That's so low key. Like the cop's like, I can't. And Neil's and Doug's like, but the radio works. We're fine. We're like 100 miles away, man.
You mean to tell me that none of the gauges work? And yeah, the radio works fine.
Reminds me of my first car I bought my 82 Monte Carlo for $500. And by the time I sold it, the trunk was gone because I could see the ground when I opened it. The dome light, not dome, the dash light did not work. The
trunk was gone?
I mean, you could open the trunk, but they just
the bottom of the trunk was gone, not the trunk. All right. The trunk cool. lid was
How
still
right. How does that happen?
Rust. I bought it for $500. <All right. laughs> An 82 Monte Carlo.
It was probably mostly gone when he bought the car, and it just rusted away the rest of the time.
We're getting through the rest of it. So the dash light stopped working. But that didn't matter because once the speedometer hit 35, it just started flapping. So you didn't just so yeah, you get real good at like judging how fast you were going.
Yep.
Just get behind a car and hoping they're going. Yeah,
it was about 60 miles.
The rear view mirror fell off and I couldn't get reattached. I did sell that car for $300 as is.
I got pulled over for
82.
82. I got pulled over speeding once, and the guy was like, "Do you know how fast you're going?" I'm like,
"No idea."
And I go, "Well, the dash light doesn't work, so I don't really know." And the cop's like, "Oh, but you couldn't just turn on the dome." I'm like, "Sir, once 35 hits, it flaps, and I still don't know."
It also doesn't work after 35. So
I just write whatever you want to say. Like you have a better idea.
Oh goodness!
That's also, I was coming home from football.
Hey,
I was driving
at the end of the day. He's got to prove it. So like. That's good on you.
I also left football practice that night barefoot, which apparently is also illegal to drive barefoot. Found that out that night. Didn't know that. Did you guys know that? Can't do that.
I don't think that's true.
I was going to argue that point. He laughed at me and gave me a warning for all of it and said, get that shit fixed.
It is illegal. I only know this because, rest in peace, one of my favorite uncles who died 15 years ago always drove barefoot. Forever and got pulled over a handful of times on it. It just and
because they could see his feet while he was driving.
Well,
no, I know for something
else. No. He got pulled over for some other shit.
Yeah,
like
anyway, yeah.
But yeah, it was just yeah. You're not supposed to.
So what's the line on? I don't know. I'm not even gonna ask the fucking questions because that sounds really stupid. I don't know why that's a thing.
Barefoot.
Yeah,
what's the line of barefoot though? Like, is it socks?
Are they
you have to have fucking slides on? Like, you can be barefoot, but in
is
slides.
Frodo,
like,
is the... Frodo getting a ticket for his fucking furry ass feet? Is that motherfucker?
Yeah,
that sounds insanely stupid. I did not know that was a thing.
I can't
Frodo stupid. I agree.
Yes. Yeah, I can't tell you the logic behind it. But
Samwise Gamgee, yes.
Apparently, a rule.
No, Sam's not stupid. Frodo's stupid.
No, that's why I said Samwise Gamgee. He's great. Frodo is fucking stupid.
Okay, should we finish this podcast about this movie?
Probably should.
are we well past the Tom Danson line yet?
I have no idea. It doesn't give me an actual lapse time.
Is it still recording? All right, making sure. All right. So finally, they burn the car down. They kill a fucking hotel. Also, the hotel manager at that point is one of them guys that like he's pretty well known if you look on his IMDb. And let's get to the sad part. We're gonna get to the sad part unless. Am I missing a question, Jake? Let me pull them up. Am I missing things specifically?
Nothing that I specifically wanted to talk about, I don't think, but
something took out of us, something that hasn't aged well.
Oh, can I? All right. So one thing before you move on, and this goes back to the, I guess everything or a lot of what we talked about is the highway, like the driving and the rental car scene. And the whole reason that they like have the like accident or whatever and get off the highway. Can he not just pull his fucking arm out of one of his arms, even out of the
buddy?
Jacket?
No, as a bigger dude, that's a fucking.
I'm not a small guy, Ted. Like, you can't just pull your fucking arm out of your jacket.
It's tight, man. It's tight. Like you're a goddamn you can pull, penguin.
You can pull an arm out of
it. He's a big fat penguin trying to drive his goddamn knees.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Really? That's exactly what.
No,
it
is. I know. I mean, I was thinking like you can't just like you can't get your arm like up out of the jet. I don't know. Like,
so, and I don't know. Maybe this is a youth thing.
Youth or youth thing? We go.
I think you said youth. Me? No, I think you said youth. I think he said youth.
The
use your words.
The two what?
Two youths. Great reference. Thank you.
They don't have. When was the last time you saw
the crank?
The on knob the seat. Yep. To adjust
in that 82 Monte Carlo.
No. I understand what was happening there.
But I mean, it's tied it like you used to. It. I mean, don't get me wrong. You don't run your wrist all the way back. I guess you have to when turn the knob.
Twist it. Yep.
But it is.
Yeah, but you can't like pull your fucking arm. Like I don't know. Like.
But
nobody can actually see what's happening here.
It's
but I'm
tight.
Well, I understand. Yeah, I understand. I it's Jake, not ideal.
Jake
but
has healthy shoulders. My shoulders are trash.
I don't know, man. I'd rip that fucking thing apart before I crash a car. Anyway.
Or just you drive. Think a, so, or just drive. Is, a, or just drive with your knees like an adult. Like
this is back.
That's what
the
he
80s.
Ended up doing.
This is back in the '80s when
it only goes so far.
Those knobs and shit. They were actually properly made. So that the knob didn't just pop off.
I was talking about like ripping the jacket, not breaking the hand.
No, for sure, but that's
maybe it's a home build jacket. That shit's a fucking nice jacket. You can't rip that shit.
It's also sponsor as home jackets.
Field. I would just take my fucking arm out of the jacket.
Goddamn one arm man, it's, you killed Richard Kimball.
Okay, are you gonna flip upside down? Like that's not.
I love that nobody can actually visually see what you and I have been doing for the last like 5 minutes.
Bunch of flailing fucking penguins on this podcast.
It's amazing. I love it. No, I mean that was the one. That was one note that I had that we were going to pass up on. So
also, all the fucking smoking.
It's a little drastic. It's a little drastic. For sure.
No, I mean the smoke. Whatever. Like I just. That's actually another thing that would probably take a younger person than me out of the movie. Cause I grew up
got this under hits. All right, go ahead.
I grew up with still just like smoking sections and people smoking in a lot of places when I was younger. So like, I remember that and it doesn't like, I remember that being a thing, but if you're like 26, 27, like you're probably right on the line of like not remembering that.
Dude, they're all fucking sucking on cherry vape pens at this point. Strawberry vape pens.
Yes, I'm just talking about the smoking and everywhere, but
all right, go check those quick. We're all dancing penguins at this point. My penguin dance is my go-to dance, by the way. It's fucking amazing. It's all shoulders. All just shoulders, like no head.
Waddling?
Yeah, it's all shoulders. It's just
once again, nobody can fucking see what we're
it's
doing.
It's all shoulders. It only works if you have someone dancing around you. Like you need a partner, but it's all shoulders.
It's great. It's
all right. There's no gifts from this movie. Anything you didn't realize is from this movie?
No. Once again, right. I'm surprised there wasn't anything from this movie that like was a gif or something like that.
But beyond all of that. Can we talk about the actual, I guess, sort of homecoming scene?
Yes, let's get that. So, like, I was gonna do the goosebumps. It's not really a goosebumps ending, but let's get to the ending because up until this recently, this ending pissed me off, and I want to hear your guys'
kind of surprised by that, honestly.
Well,
I mean, just knowing you, but like, the end of the movie is, like Neil, they get off the train, they got to Chicago. And Neil like says his goodbyes or whatever. And he's like, yeah, see you later. Like, I'm going to go home. And then he realizes like in his head, he's like, oh, he doesn't actually have anything.
He has nobody.
Like, he doesn't, he's doesn't, like, that's why he kind of is the way he is. And he goes back and gets him at the station and takes him to his house. And then you get the, apparently Matthew Lawrence and whatever, he gets home. And
I can't believe the oldest one's guy's name is Andrew. Seems fake. But anyways,
but it literally, like, it was, I mean, not that I cried, but like, it was a little bit like surprisingly emotional that they stuck that in the way that they did it
for this. Well, and they actually do a decent job of like bridging it and transitioning in, like,
they also tell almost
blurring the lines of it, because it is when the train breaks down and they get off the train and Neil is just, you know, just, he's like, oh, you gotta be fucking kidding me, you know, another goddamn roadblock. And he looks over and just, he sees Del dragging that fucking case. And just, and he does just kind of sigh and just go, yeah, man, I'm going to go help him. I just, and he just doesn't say a word. He walks up behind him. He just picks up the back half of that case and just, and there's no words exchanged there. Like, even in the shop.
He
just gives him a little smile and just like, yeah, man, I'm here for you, buddy. Like, yeah, it's, you got your shit, I got my shit, but yeah, let's keep trucking. And then when the car fucking blows up, and it is Neil's at the point of basically hysterical laughter of just like, holy
shit. Yeah, they're
shit,
both just laughing. They look at each other and then laugh more.
And just, this is where we are, really, like, holy shit. And then, and it just builds from that. And then, yeah, it just, they get to Chicago. They get on that platform and Neil gets on the train. Like, and they do have a moment there of just like, oh, so I guess this is goodbye. Maybe see you never.
Yeah, I think the most wild part about that is he gets on the L, because it's the elevated train in Chicago, and
that's how they find Richard Kimball.
And he actually, so the implication of actually what happens there is he has to ride the L to whatever the next stop is, and then get on the train that then comes back.
Yeah,
which is like no small like time sacrifice, right?
Right.
So he has to literally go to the next stop and then wait on the train or get on the other train going the other way. And then,
but yeah, that's where he gets off the L coming back and Del's not right there, but, and he's just like, I gotta find this dude, man.
Yeah.
Like, he just, and it is in that middle, like when he's riding the L is when I think they do that montage of just like connecting all the dots of, holy shit, man, his family's gone. Whether it's estranged, whether he's been kicked out of the family, what, he doesn't know the story, but it's just,
he's like, he realizes, this guy doesn't have anything.
The humanitarian side of him finally fully comes through.
Yeah.
And he just hits it and he just goes, dude, he can't fucking be alone today. Like, it's Thanksgiving. Like you said, it is. He finds him and he just goes, nah, dude, I got a place for you.
Nah, come on. Yeah. You're coming with me. Let's go.
And they just, and it's not even like, and even when they get out of the cab, like, Del's kind of holding.
He's like, oh, yeah, goes, I'll come in for a little bit for a drink or whatever.
No. And just get in here, man. Just full on get in here. It's a very good encapsulating come through moment of just like, I mean, you can extrapolate it any way you want, but it is, you don't know what the person next to you is going through.
Yeah.
And he got to spend this time with. And don't get me wrong, I have a lot of friends that fucking drive me nuts.
Yeah. You podcast one.
But yeah, exactly. But we all have so much shit. And at the end of the day, like on a spot like that, like it's brought up from the beginning of the movie. It's so important to be with family and people who care about you and want to spend holidays with you.
That was the wild, surprising part of how they tied that together.
They wrap it back up, just like, nah, man, you're one of us. Like, we spent 3 days together and not 30 years together, but I've gone through a lifetime of fucking challenges with you in 3 goddamn days.
Yeah, pretty much. Like that's literally what it was.
I think what always took me out of it was like until recently, until the girlfriend like put me in my place.
Yeah, I want to hear what. Yeah, tell us so why like, you didn't.
I was always just like, this is such a like funny movie. Like, why does it have to get heavy? Like that's like to me is like. The part like always, it always was like, I mean, I hate the word triggers, but like, it was just like this is a funny movie and I don't need to get stabbed. If I'm going to a stabby movie, I want to know I'm going to a stabby movie. And it's like, I don't need to get stabbed at like the last 5 minutes of this movie. And it always bothered me. Like this movie is like a very funny movie. And like, it's for most part, lighthearted. And then like, this hurts. Why am I watching a hurdy movie? And then she left after the sock spot. She came in and out, you know? And when she watched the end, she's like, that movie's really cool. And I'm like, no, that movie's fucking stabby. Fuck that ending. You know, she's like, no, that movie's all about that man who's been hurting for 8 years, finding someone that's like, I got you.
We're finding a family. Yeah. I mean, it's just.
And to me, it was always like, why does his story have to be so sad? Like, I don't need it. In the context of that movie, I was always mad. Like, we don't need a super depressing.
You wanted it to just be the shallow comedy movie, and I guess the movie with the depth of I'm not calling you shallow. You wanted it to just be the like it doesn't a comedy movie that doesn't have the depth of the emotional like stuff that's happening throughout the movie, which is fair. Like I don't think it's wrong that you wanted it to be that. But when I was watching it, I very much was like, because.
I mean,
and I think
we all know I love stabby movies. Like I'm like,
but I think if I had watched this movie when I was 20 or even like 5-ish years ago or something, I don't know if I would have emotionally like picked up on the depth of kind of what they were doing and figured out so early on that like, oh yeah, no, like this guy, like there's something here. There's some emotional like thing happening with this movie. It's not just that he's annoying and Steve Martin's character is an asshole and whatever. Like there's more happening here. I think if I would have seen the movie when I was younger, I would have not picked up on that as much and just watched it for what you were talking about it being just this funny movie of like, oh yeah, like this really nice guy meets this asshole and like they kind of clash and they kind of come together in the middle. And then in the end, it's like, you know, all hunky dory or whatever. But yeah, I think as watching it now, it's like, oh no, like that's what this movie is. There's more depth to it. And which is like really weird. Going into the movie, I did not expect there to be this, but I did pick up on it. And then at the end, I was like, oh yeah, that's the payoff. I didn't expect to like
the tone
get emotional and have that. Yeah, the tone shift, but it's good. I mean, I liked the way that it did that, but I can definitely see why you felt the way you did about it for however long.
I'm assuming my over, it lost. Under lost. But all right, anyways.
Told you I liked that over.
Fuck off. Any notebook. Let's empty the notebooks. We can go all struggle to watch Tyson fight because it ain't going to work for any of us.
I don't think I have. I think I stopped taking notes around the highway scene with the crash and like that's
how they know where we're going.
Yeah, I mean that was good. The people on the other side of the interstate or whatever trying to, you're going the wrong way. Yeah, I think he's drunk. How do they know where we're going? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's not much more than that. I do.
On TikTok, if I can find it on TikTok.
I do love the John Candy mess around. Just
yeah,
smoking heaters, throwing darts, and just playing.
We've all been there, like in a car when you're by yourself, like rolling the window down.
You gotta stay awake, man. You gotta find a way to stay awake. I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I was wondering, like, you're rolling the window down, like, just like if that's gonna help you at all. Like, come on, give some breeze here. Like, let's figure this shit out.
Cold air, cold wind in the face. No, I didn't have, like, I literally, like, stopped there. I think that's partially because that's kind of where, I mean, it's not exactly where the movie starts to get a little bit more serious, but they kind of stopped doing, the movie up to that point was a lot of shticky stuff and whatever, kind of just like small comedy sketch scenes put together. And then after that, it stopped a little bit. But also I was like, I can't just keep making notes about like every scene. So
it's a funny movie. You should watch it.
It's very good.
It's very like 90 minutes long. Yep. So if no one has any more thoughts, I'm going to say my very fancy catchphrase.
It's not better than Airplane, though.
I can't wait to watch Airplane. It's going to be our first movie of 2025.
I think Airplane's, this movie is good. Airplane is so good.
I'm excited to watch Airplanes. We're going to watch Airplanes when we have our first movie of season two. We have two Christmas movies that we're going to pick out. We have not got there yet.
A Christmas Story and something else, probably.
We should put that to a Twitter poll. But
sure, you should.
I want to watch the Santa Claus, the movie, not the Tim Allen one, but I don't think anyone else but me knows
that. No. What the fuck are you talking about?
Dudley Moore Man from the 80s? Fuck yeah, man. Santa Claus the movie.
Don't think so.
Already getting
beat. I have no idea what you're talking about, so no.
Sean, you know that movie at all?
Nope.
All right. That's fine.
We're gonna watch Jingle All the Way. How about that?
About a fucking Winter Wonderland. No, what's the musical from the 40s? Not Winter Wonderland. Smith says it's amazing.
I think I know what you're talking about.
It's a musical. It's not Winter Wonderland.
We should watch.
What the fuck is that called? The other
Christmas movie is The Grinch.
You want to do the Star Wars Christmas special?
The 30-minute Grinch?
Jim, is that true?
I'm not, Jim no, Carrey. Fuck that. No,
Jim
no.
Jim Carrey's Grinch.
No, it's hot shit, and I'm not. No.
No shot.
No chance. I will fucking veto
you the are. Oh, my God. That I think we have to make.
Movie is 2 hours.
That movie is amazing. That movie is great. And I'm not
2 hours and 25 minutes long. And it's also White Christmas is what I'm talking about. We should watch that.
You should. Okay. Put the Grinch on a poll with any other
season. Fucking three.
Put the Grinch on a poll, on a Christmas movie poll with about anything else. And I bet it wins.
Really? Grinch? Yes. Elf? Christmas Vacation?
Oh, Elf. Elf would probably win that.
Christmas Vacation and the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
I think Elf wins that, but Grinch is second.
I bet Grinch is fourth of those four movies.
Do it.
The Grinch is not being. How much you want to bet? I bet it's not being Christmas Vacation.
I bet it does.
I bet Christmas Vacation wins the goddamn poll.
Nope. Elf will win.
So Grinch, Elf, the Santa Claus with Tim Allen.
Yeah, that won't. That'll be last.
Sean, you want to weigh on this and your parents' wife fighting or?
Nope. This is all between you. You guys want to watch Fred Claus?
Okay. Oh, hang on, wait. Is that the one of Vaughn or is that the cartoon?
It's Vaughn. It's Vince Vaughn.
What's the cartoon that has Fred Claus in it? That shit's good.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Anyway, make the poll right now. Okay. Or at least note it down.
I'm putting him in the goddamn Slack.
Okay. I will bet you money.
That's not fourth?
That Elf wins and it's, yeah, if it's not fourth, absolutely. I will bet. How much money you want to bet?
I'll bet you a
unit. But it's not fourth. All right.
Hang on. I bet it's not one and two.
I'll bet you a unit that it's second. top two, sure.
No, it's gonna be fucking Elf and Christmas Vacation. Christmas Vacation is gonna win.
No, Elf will win.
No chance. Everyone loves Christmas Vacation. It's gonna win. Anyways, I am Ted Flint, Jake Voss, Sean Ted Sussman. I had an amazing catchphrase, but I got sued. No, you didn't.
Shut up.
Look, I got sued. Goddamn lawyers.
Chris is in South Carolina or whatever.
Yeah. Chris is South Carolina. It was amazing. It was a good catchphrase. One that I can't remember. We're not going to watch The Grinch. Oh, shit. I ordered fuck that movie.
I can't believe that. You just you like Jim Carrey or what?
I thought we do like, instead of The Grinch, we do Rudolph, Frosty, The Grinch cartoon.
No.
The three mini ones.
No.
A mini podcast on all three of them.
No.
Santa and Rudolph is a big cocksucker, I mean, by the way. Just saying. All right. Till next time, boys. Talk to you later.
See you later.
You guys.